This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Audacy's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle, Johnny Cake Sawville, and Jason Bishop. Good talk some Commanders right now with insider John Keim from ESPN.com. He jumps on the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Hey, John.
What up, fellas?
So you enjoying the offseason so far?
It's been weird because, I mean, there have been a couple things, obviously, yesterday, but it's an unusual offseason because there's not as much going on. I mean, look at the last 5 years and then this offseason, it's like finally like, okay, how does this team get better versus who's the quarterback? Who's the coach? What's Congress investigating? Who's going to buy the team,
right,
et cetera? You know, what's the name going to be? All that stuff.
No, it's nice that you just focus on the football operations,
yes,
and who you're going to add to the roster, who the roster is going to lose.
It's also a condensed time frame, though, because the season went longer than it has in 30 years.
That I've told some of my colleagues for ESPN, I'm like, the best thing – it was a lot of fun going to the postseason, but one of the benefits was it was 3 weeks less of things you had to write about.
Like fake.
It was all right in front of you. Yeah. BS stuff that's like, oh, who are they going to keep? You could push that off for a few weeks, and it's funny because you wake up, it's like, oh my gosh, free is around the corner.
Right. Yeah. Well, I was surprised. Just one little side thing. You know, Peters opened up his presser yesterday, and he shouted out Martin Mayhew, and he was really praised him. Talked about how when he was in college that Mayhew was the one guy that he reached out to that responded to him. And then he said he was really sort of critical in some of these signings they did in the offseason. And I guess Mayhew's decided to retire. But I really thought they were just kind of like being nice, keeping him on. But it sounds like he was an integral part of the process.
He was definitely somebody that he wanted to keep on. And I don't think they were going to keep someone on just to keep them on.
Uh-huh.
And Peter's relationship with him was always why he was going to stick. This was Mayhew's decision, not theirs. But, you know, so yes, I mean, Martin, I think, is respected for what he does. I will say, like, Lance Newmark is the right-hand man. Brent Sossen is another guy that, you know, the front office that he really relies on. So, but yes, Martin had a role. I don't know if it was as big as maybe they had been in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that, you know, what Adam said is accurate.
The other thing that did a little bit surprise me is Adam totally left the door open, potentially, if you really listen to him, on John maybe coming back. I figured, you know, when they asked for release, that means it's gone. It's over. And it probably is. But he did say that everything's on the table, including him maybe staying.
Well, correct. But then if you say, well, it's either this or cutting, what do you think teams are going to do? You know, I mean,
I thought cutting, but now I'm just taking him literally.
My point is, but if you're another team and he says, "Well, we're going to trade him or cut him,"
oh, okay, gotcha.
Is another team gonna? What's another team gonna pony up in that situation?
Yeah. Okay,
so,
okay.
I don't know that. I think I would put that third on the list, and I didn't get behind trade or cut.
Okay.
I think it would be hard to do that. I think you'd have to really weigh like how what's the impact on the player if you basically tell him we're not going to extend you and you can go look for a trade.
Mm-hmm.
What's that impact on the player when he comes back in that locker room? You know, is he okay? Because like some guys may not be okay with that. You mm-hmm. know, and so that's part of what you have to weigh as well. I think once you go down this road, you're kind of making a decision.
Okay, fair enough. That makes sense.
Are you buying into the team going after one of these big-time players via trade, the Myles Garrett of the world?
Well, I think for Myles, you have to buy into that because you should at least explore that. I mean, this is an impactful defensive player. You have to explore it. Now, what I don't know that I buy is would they have enough to pull it off? That's where it becomes difficult. But buying that they'd be interested, yeah, because why wouldn't you? The hard part is first of all, the Browns keep saying they're not going to trade him. So I don't even know, does anybody really know what the price tag would be?
Right.
I think there's a lot of, and myself included, you're just kind of guessing and trying to piece it together from talking to people or whatever. And, I've talked to some people who are like, oh, this will end up in an extension with Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and other people think, no, it'll happen. It's just a matter of when, and with this contract, it may not happen until after the draft, the way, just the savings for the Browns. If you're Cleveland, do you really want to trade them? Because you have a coach and a GM who pretty much need to win now. So, might you wait to the trade deadline if the season goes south, right? So those are factors to even say, is he even really available now? The other thing, if I'm Washington, is okay, you want two first-round picks, here you go, because it's 29th pick if it happened before the draft. 29th pick, and then next year if you get Myles Garrett, where do you think you're picking? Not high. So you're giving two low first-round picks. That sounds palatable to me for Washington. But if you're Cleveland, is that any good?
Mm-hmm.
You've got to get more than that to justify a move before the draft, right? If you get to the trade deadline, maybe it looks different than it does now. But right now, if you're Cleveland, you're not going to trade him for anything unless it's going to get you an impact back.
Right.
So I think that's where I have a hard time buying is, do they have enough to pull it off? You can't entice them by throwing it John Allen's been a good player, but I don't know that that's going to entice the Browns and make it more desirable for them in that situation. You'd want a younger impact guy back if that's all they could offer. And I don't know what the price tag really is.
John, I heard you on your podcast say something I thought was interesting, that of all the guys they drafted last year, and I thought you threw in Sam Hartman and some other undrafted free agents, that the one thing they had in common is they all were interviewed prior.
Yeah.
And I thought you said at the combine, except for one, and that was a kid they saw at the East-West Shrine game
whatever. Yeah, yeah.
But is that true? So they all, so if you didn't go to the combine, you weren't getting drafted?
Well, not here. And there are, but it's also, everybody that made the roster from that class, they, except for Dominique Hampton, again, Shrine Game and uh-huh. Pro Day. So the combine and the Pro Day, because the interviews too, right? You get to learn a lot about them. And Adam Peters talked about that. The hard part is, it's a good introduction, but that's what it is, because you don't know how coached or rehearsed something is. So the more you're around a guy and the more you can witness them, but it's also, to me, a good chance to watch them, not just in the interviews, but watch them just like the pro days. You can watch them away from the interviews, right? Watching how they are. Like, I've had coaches tell me in the past, you watch how a guy is in the line, for a drill. Is he always in the same spot? Is he going first? Is he sometimes first and then third and then maybe fifth, which suggests that maybe he's getting gassed a little bit or whatever. You know what I mean? And so you watch the competitiveness in those drills too. So that gives you a firsthand look at them as well. So, whether it's just, but they all were interviewed at the combine except for Dominique Hampton.
John, pretty amazing to look back at last year's draft class that Peter selected. He loves guys who perform in the short shuttle drill. He drafted players with two of the three best times from last season's combine, three of the top 12, and four of the top 22. So, like, he puts a lot of stock into that one drill. Are there any other drills that he really looks at that you know of? But because it seems like that's one that if a guy performs that, they're going to be on the Commanders' radar.
Well, and that's, we know that from 1 year. I'd want a little bit more data to say that that's what he prefers, because And I'm not knocking it, because I saw that stat and it's an interesting stat. I don't know. And the other thing is that football is a short area quickness game. Like the 40 time to me, like if you're a defensive lineman, you know, and a lot of these positions, is how much is that going to impact anything? I think the short area quickness does a lot. But, you know, the other thing with this class that you looked at, it was a lot of strong, smart leader types. And I think that to me is like is as big as anything. But I'm not dismissing that stat. I want to see, you know, like, is that going to follow suit this year as well? But football is a short area quickness game. And so that, especially at certain positions, if you're a nickel corner, you want that. Shoot, that's one reason why when they talked, and I know that, you know, people are going to cringe at this one, but like when Benjamin St. Juice moved to the slot, one reason they pointed to was the short area quickness that he showed at the combine.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that does play a factor in decision-making. I mean, but then I think you take that, and you better have the other qualities. I don't think it's just that. I think you take that plus X and Y, right? But, you know, again, I think it is a telling stat.
John, give us some names of some guys you're kind of keeping an eye out for that they might potentially be interested in the upper end of the draft. I know you're an Ohio State guy.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
And I love that receiver you guys have at Ohio State.
Duca.
Yeah. Just see clips. I mean, you know, it's not like I watch them every week. Are there some names of some guys potentially that you're kind of keeping an eye on that might be available 29?
I think, to be honest, I'm looking more at free agents right now than the draft.
Okay.
And so I think I'd look at, and it's so hard at that. So, you know, you start to look at that and it's so far to me in the future because free agency is so dominant before then.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, then we'll know more. Like, you know, you can look at cornerbacks right now because it's a good corner class too. But what if they sign somebody in free agency? Well, then that knocks that off, right? What, you know, could be there are good edge rushers at 29, potentially. What if, you know, then it's like, what happens in free agency? So I'm not trying to back out of it, but that's how I kind of look at there. But there are, like, they're good running backs. Omarion Hampton, Travion Henderson, you know, would one of those guys be at one or 29? I think, you know, you could probably wait a little bit if you wanted to at that position because it's very deep. So I'm looking more positionally, you know, and the other thing is, like, what if Josh Simmons from, Ohio State tackle, really good, coming off an injury, I don't think he'd fall that far, but what if he does, or what if a guy, Kelvin Banks, is there from Texas? Like, that, you know, would you look at that? Like, those are guys that I am watching for sure. Egbuka's another, you know, you brought him up, and he'd be an excellent slot receiver for them. Size, he fits exactly the kind of player / person they want as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think, you know, you do look at those. But, there are a handful of corners in there that I think will be interesting to watch. And, you know, as we get closer, can get more into that. But, again, I want to see free agency first to see what areas might they target. And
Right. Having
said that, like, if you sign a corner in free agency, but you have a corner sitting right there at 29.
That you love.
He's the best.
Yeah.
And you love. You got to take him. You know, you know what I mean? Like, the way you become a good team is by drafting good players.
Do you think Marshawn Lattimore has a better year next year?
I don't know. I think
because Bickle's out on him.
I'm out.
I'm not out on him yet.
I'm out. I think he's damaged.
I'm going to give him a full season camp, and then hopefully he turns into what he was, you know, 3 years ago.
100 years ago. Okay. Sure.
I would say this in talking to, there are some people I've talked to in the league are skeptical that what he can get back to because the injuries just add up. What I don't know is what was the impact, you know, on him. Just with all those injuries in his play, because he had a couple games where he was very quiet, which was really good as a corner.
Mm-hmm.
But then against the top guys, it wasn't good.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know. I think, you know, I always kind of like to give, not the benefit of the doubt, but just to see, what does it look like next summer? Does it look better? You know, and I know like that's how they're viewing it. I know because Adam Peters has said that. I'm not going to write anybody off, but I will say, like, I think he's going to have to show that
he's got a lot of
better
work.
and that it was just about when you're watching him turn and run against like AJ Brown or someone like that, you know, you see it and it's like, that's not the turn that he would have had, you know, X years ago. Right. But is that because he's still working his way back from the hamstring? Not that it was injured, but that there's a, you know, when you miss that much time, are you coming and you're facing an elite receiver? What's the impact on your play? And that's what I want to see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just getting into free agents here quickly before we let you go. We've talked a lot about the Eagles' three defensive guys that are right there at the top of the list of some people. How about just plucking two of them just for the sake of plucking them?
The hard part for like a Josh Sweat, I mean, he had a good year and he's a good player. I think what some people would quite wonder is like, what's the impact? First of all, I'm going to say he's going to get overpaid. Every free agent does, right? That's basically what free agency is. But to what degree is he worth that? What you're going to have to pay him is the impact worth it? And I think that's what the question would be. I don't know that, you know, he would certainly fill a hole, but what level is he really at? You know, and Milton Williams is a guy, like, I think he's going to get paid. You know, I don't know that Zach Bond, I think the Eagles will keep him. I can't imagine they let him go. Mm-hmm. He was very important to them. But they, you know, I think with Sweat and Williams, they have more depth inside that they can let him go or let him walk. I don't know that I see those at this point. I mean, we keep hearing from them that, you know, and I think Adam Peters said, but they will be active because they have so many guys to resign. I don't know. What you keep hearing is like the Luvu Biadasz types, right? Guys who are, you know, in that 26, 27 range, just starting to enter their prime and are ascending. And also not breaking the bank either. So I don't know that I see those at this point. And I think, you know, we'll know a little bit more after this week, after people get back from the combine, you start to hear more rumors or whatever. But it doesn't seem to fit what they want to do. And I think the other thing is, though, goes back to with John Allen freeing up more cap space to do some moves that maybe you wouldn't have done otherwise. And that could include maybe a trade for one of those receivers like a Cooper Kupp or a Debo, if that's what they wanted to do.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what moves they make.
Yep.
Yep.
Right. All right,
yep.
John.
Thank
good
you.
Stuff.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
All right,
that's John Keim from ESPN.com. Coming up next, a wild story that hit social media coming out of the SEC.